Hi, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired, break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. There are many organizations now that facilitate entrepreneurial development, and all of them are organized slightly differently, each with unique defining characteristics. We Mentor Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab training combines mentoring, both peer mentoring and leader mentoring, with research-based entrepreneurial leadership development and a human development process. So we implement essential practices of innovation like design thinking to help shape your passion for solving problems. You will discover things about yourself, like the way you think, imagine, feel, and behave. We will encourage calculated risk-taking, experiment with new ideas and different perspectives, explore the iterative process of innovation by beginning with you. The content and processes that make up the business that I own and founded in 1992 is the We Mentor 1-Year 24-Session Training Lab. And we address personal skills, your ability to engage with and positively influence others, as much as your business skills, making well-informed financial decisions, making sure that you've got some great selling techniques, you're getting new customers and end users, and you're growing your business intentionally, as well as building in a little recovery time along the way. We do meditation and mindfulness yoga to help deepen your understanding of your body, mind, and soul. We help you ground into the earth like an elm tree. Business schools, entrepreneurial development programs, networking organizations, and mastermind groups often pay scant attention to the crucial role that personal development plays in creating a successful entrepreneurial life. Too many promising entrepreneurs and business leaders fail because of poor personal decision-making that could have been avoided. Successful businesses depend on both, and you will see equal time and attention devoted to each We Mentor strategic mentoring session. The secret and the most powerful ingredient of We Mentor training is mentoring. It's one of the oldest forms of human development. We learn from each other. We Mentor training pairs you with successful entrepreneurs in a range of fields and also connects you with your peers. Peers with particular strengths mentor those who need support in key areas. And since we all have different strengths and limitations, everyone acts as both mentor and mentee during the training. If any of what I'm saying resonates with you, connect with me at wementor.com and ask for a free 30-minute consultation. I would love to sort out whether a We Mentor Entrepreneurial Leadership and Mentoring Lab is a right fit for you. And if you happen to not live outside of the metropolitan area of Minnesota, which is many of you, or live in a different state or another country, you can set up a Skype 30-minute free consultation, and I do one-on-one mentoring sessions over the phone or over Skype. So you can contact me in that way as well. So welcome to the program. We have a special guest in the studio, as usual. Today, I say we are blessed to have Nancy Lindgren in the studio. Hey, Nancy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm excited to be here.
Very good. Well, when Nancy Lindgren works with you, she will address the physical, mental, emotional, energetic, and spiritual aspects of your healing. In each session, Nancy combines complementary healing art learned from decades of study. These techniques include various forms of energy healing, emotional freedom technique, forgiveness, flower essences, and more. So during this session, Nancy will assist you in facilitating the release of stress, trauma, old patterns, and beliefs, bringing you into into a deeper sense of peace, balance, and harmony, where you can heal at the core level of your being. And we're going to be talking about that, some of that today.
Yes. I'm excited. Yeah.
Well, first, let's check in. How are you doing? How are you feeling?
I'm really feeling pretty good today.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Give us some feeling words.
Feeling words. I'm excited. I'm curious. I am grateful.
Okay.
What else?
You just filled out your self-awareness mentoring journal.
I did.
Yeah.
Yes. Empathetic, connected. Yeah.
Wow. A lot of positive feelings going on right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, Nancy Lindgren was part of one of the first group of facilitators I trained. So she was in a group. And Deb Pitzrick, her and her husband were here for my first year of doing the podcast. They took a major risk. So I'll include their episodes in the show notes. So if people would like to hear more about them, or maybe you want to listen, you know, about her background. I learned a lot that I didn't even know. And we've been seeing each other for lunch every month for years.
Wow.
Since then.
Yeah.
Decades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the Wayback Machine, like 20 years ago or 25 years ago or something.
Yeah, it was really a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you had owned White Wings Cleaning.
I did.
Yes. And you know why I remember that so much?
Why?
Because you have like this angelic essence about you. And so the White Wings, I just have always remembered that, and you blessed homes. While you were cleaning them.
I did, yeah.
Yeah,
I did.
I mean, very, very unique.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I haven't heard anyone doing that.
Right.
But, yeah.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, being a highly sensitive person, you know, cleaning those homes, I started to really feel the energies in the homes. You know, I'd be cleaning a floor and I'm like, wow, this feels like there's a lot of anger here or fear or grief or sadness or, you know.
Yeah.
And so I had never been trained to do it, but I just would clear the energy out of the home. And so I clean it that way too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when people came home, they not only saw a beautifully cleaned house, but you changed the energy in the space.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Did they know that usually?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Okay. That's why you were like the little angel coming through the house, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
So tell us about your, did you sell White Wings Cleaning?
I sold that company after 10 years.
Okay.
I grew it to have, had the keys and alarm codes to 70 homes, and I ran a part-time crew of cleaners that would go in and clean these homes, and I trained a lot of people through the years, and then it became really evident. All the while I was doing that business, I was taking classes in intuition and healing work and energy healing, and I thought that was just going to be some hobby thing I would do with family and friends. And it became very obvious to me that, no, I need to switch careers and start doing energy healing on people, you know?
Wow. Yeah. Right.
Right.
And who did you sell your business to? Was it someone that you had trained and worked with you for a long time?
Each house cleaner that I had, there were three of them, and they all split the houses up. So I sold them in like packages.
Oh, I see. Each person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I bet they were really happy about that.
They were, because some of them had been cleaning the same houses for 8 years, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe nine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was their place to do. And they showed up every other Thursday or Friday and did it. And so it was easy on my clients and it was easy on the people I sold the house to. I mean, the businesses to.
Yeah. Great. Did they maintain the name? Or did they develop their own names?
They just went with their own.
Okay. So they bought the clients.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Nice arrangement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It worked out really well.
And so let's go back a little bit before that. What kind of led up to, where'd you grow up and what was your family like?
Well, let's see. I grew up here in Minnesota.
Okay.
In the suburb of Edina. And my family had, there were six of us. And we were raised by my parents. My father was an engineer. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom. And then my father died when I was five. So that's what I guess I like to call my sacred wound, you know, like something that's so tragic that happens that we all, everybody's got something that they've learned a really big thing from. And I think that was mine, you know, something to learn, a big thing to learn. When you're that little, about impermanence and
before you right,
because you know,
you don't even have the concept in your head when you're that young,
right?
I mean, that doesn't come to like age eight or something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So that was a big shock to all of us. Of course, he died in an accident, airplane crash, and
wow.
You know, there was no lingering illness or anything. It was just once he was there and.
Oh, so there was the shock.
Yeah, the shock. And so it was really hard for our family, but he was a very smart man and he had some things in place that made it easier for us, you know, with mortgage insurance and, you know, some help that way for my mom to help raise us.
Did he have life insurance?
Yes.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And where are you in the mix of six?
I'm fifth. There were actually seven, but my sister died before I was born. And so then I'm fifth and then two after me.
Wow. Okay. And so how did, so your whole life changed very very shockingly.
Yeah.
At a very young age.
Yeah.
So how did your family cope with the loss?
Well, you know, there weren't anything like grief groups for children back then, you know, or even adults. There were no grief groups that people went to, and there was no support. So we all just kind of muddled through, and we were sad, and it was hard, and my mom struggled with some things, too. So, yeah, it was a big, challenging time.
Yeah. So your mom, yeah, that must have been like, I remember when my brother passed away, I was an adult though, you know, we were all grown and it was my brother. It wasn't someone who was taking care of us.
Right.
And so tiny. So you said that your mom struggled a little
bit. She struggled with,
well,
you know,
who wouldn't, right?
Her ups and downs with the whole thing.
Okay. So how did you work your way through it? Did you, like your siblings, did they, because you were younger, did they work harder at making sure you're okay or?
You know, we all pulled together.
Oh,
and,
nice.
You know, when somebody needed something, we took care of each other.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how you got through it.
That's how we got through it.
Yeah. You hunkered down, pulled together, and everybody did their part.
Right, right.
To help move forward.
And there was just no, the one thing that I think was probably the hardest, that there was no room for the grief, really. And so you just didn't grieve. And
yeah, because there weren't grief groups, like you said, and you, so it didn't, it wasn't like, the message wasn't, it's okay to talk about it.
Right. It was not that at all.
It was, let's get through this and move forward.
Yep. And, so I had a lot of repressed grief that I felt like I needed to deal with later.
Okay.
And I did.
How much later?
I didn't start really dealing with it until I was 25 years old.
Okay. And was there some impetus to that?
Yeah, I had struggled myself with alcoholism and some problems that way.
Okay.
And runs
so you were kind of self-medicating?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of trying to shut the world away, make it go away, and, you know, just self-medicate, I think, to try to deal with anxiety, depression, sadness, grief, whatever.
Yeah.
And I went through treatment when I was 25 years old, and I've stayed sober ever since. I've been sober for 37 years.
Wow.
And
congratulations.
Thank
That's
you.
That's huge.
Yeah. And I dove into my whole personal growth time then, and I haven't stopped, really. I mean, I think that life presents us with all sorts of things that we can heal from. And if we choose to heal from it, it can be a lesson and something that we can share our wisdom with.
Yeah.
And I think kind of getting back to what I had said earlier about the sacred wound, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think a wound, sometimes, you know, when we have a trauma or a wound like that, the wound has us and we're consumed by it.
Right.
But when we start to work with it and climb our way out of it and deal with it and feel all of those years of grief and whatever.
Yeah. The depth of the pain.
Right.
Yeah.
Then we can use it as wisdom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was natural for me to find my way into the healing arts and be able to then help other people with things that they're struggling with.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so wonderful and nourishing and nurturing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm, okay. So, wow. That's a lot of years to be dealing with just a deep pain like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and to try to figure out, because when you're grieving, the degree, the depth of pain is like so big, like you, wow, I'm not familiar with this big pain.
Right. I mean, I didn't know what it meant when they said your dad died. I'm like, what? You know?
Yeah.
And then I realized what it meant when I saw him in a casket, and I'm like, oh, it's my first time seeing somebody dead, you know, and there's really no one there, you know? And so
Then
you really get it. I got it like with a big sledgehammer over my head. And I realized in that moment I would never see him again. So
yeah,
that, you know, was hard.
Yeah, right. Right. Oh, okay. And so you went through treatment age 25. It's your first and only time you went through treatment. Like
right.
I hear so often, you know, that people need to go through treatment more than once because the first time doesn't take.
Right.
So were you the one that made the decision to, did you realize like my life is out of control? I mean,
yes.
That's a really young, sweet age to be making that big decision.
I was really sick.
Okay.
I needed help.
Yeah.
And I knew it.
Okay. And so you got the treatment you needed, and how long of a treatment program was it?
You know, it was an awesome program. It was 6 weeks with a year of follow-up or aftercare.
Okay.
I think it was a year. Gosh, it was so long ago. But
yeah.
I was 2 weeks inpatient and 4 weeks outpatient, and I had really good care.
Wow, that's so good to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
And they looked at the holistic, you know, foods that we eat and, you know, therapy and different things that we were doing to really heal on a lot of levels, spiritual.
Yeah.
Mental, physical, spiritual, you know, emotional.
Yeah.
So.
And it worked.
It's good. Yeah. And I was just scared. I was scared to ever go back to that life again.
Yeah. You knew it
wasn't
working.
I came very close to dying, and I just did not want to go back there.
Yeah. And you didn't.
No. And every time I thought about drinking, because who wouldn't want to have a glass of wine here and there or whatever, I would think, oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to start this over again.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I'm really grateful.
Yeah, good. And after treatment, then, how did your life kind of start taking shape?
Oh, I started becoming so much more grounded in who I am. And then, you know, it's not long after you get out of treatment, really, and then all the feelings really start to hit about what I haven't dealt with.
Okay.
There's a lot of messes to clean up of how you were when you were using and...
With other people, you mean making amends?
Making amends, you know, cleaning up financial messes.
Yeah.
All of that kind of thing. So you got to do some cleanup work that first year, you know, big time. And then it wasn't long after that I ended up in therapy. And really grateful that I did. And I started going to a therapy group. And then I really
dug in.
Really dug in. Yeah.
Okay. You realize, wow, there's a lot going on inside of me.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if these feelings have a bottom. It was scary, but
okay.
I took the plunge.
And
it was worth every blood, sweat, and tears.
So, okay. Yeah. And did you meet anyone along the way?
I met my husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what age were you when you met him?
26.
Okay. Oh, mm-hmm. A year later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Jim?
Alan.
Alan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Alan. That's right. Okay. And you've got two grown kids now?
Yeah. Our kids are 31 and 29.
Wow. Okay.
A daughter and a son.
Okay. When did you decide that you wanted to start White Wings Cleaning? How did that start evolving?
Our daughter was about a year and a half, and I needed a little part-time job. And my friend was cleaning houses, and he said, "Well, come, I'll teach you how to clean houses." So he did. And then I thought I'd go off on my own, and he gave me a few houses to get started, and then I just started growing it from there.
Oh, wow.
And then I can't do this all on my own. So then I started hiring people and training them. And I decided way back when I was going to use all environmentally safe mm-hmm. products. And so I found a really good source for that and wanted it to be nice and safe that way for my clients. And
yeah. And when did you decide to, what made you decide to join a mentoring group?
I didn't really know what I was doing. I just, you know how you make stuff up as you go along.
Was this like your third year in business?
Second, maybe.
Second.
Or third.
Okay.
Really early on.
Yeah.
And I found out about your group and it felt so good to everything I heard about it. And so I jumped in and that group was awesome because there were people in the group that were more experienced than others, you mm-hmm. know? And there were things that I learned in those groups that were so helpful, just in writing a business plan, having goals, connecting with others, listening to what other people were experiencing in their businesses, how I can implement some of these things, people sharing ideas and feedback while we all went around and talked about what we were experiencing in our businesses.
Yeah.
You know, plus all the educational pieces you did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, good. Yeah. And how did that help you after you were finished with the group?
I felt more grounded in my business.
Okay.
I felt more like I had a direction and a plan that was more serious. And then I really started to grow it.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
From maybe 20 clients to 70.
Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Yeah.
And where else did you get resources and support as you were during those 10 years? Or were you steadily kind of acquiring, you were taking classes in the healing arts?
Oh, I was mainly just running the business with everything I learned.
Okay.
And then, yeah, started taking classes in healing arts at night.
Okay.
On the weekends, there'd be a workshop or something.
Yeah. Great. All right. Let's move into a little bit more about the types of work that you do.
Okay.
Because I think the techniques that you've learned, like energy work, emotional freedom technique.
Yes.
You know, mm-hmm. kind of what are those and how do they work?
Well, energy healing is an interesting thing. It's basically, you know, like the old laying on of hands, you know, that they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We all do it. You know, we all do energy healing. People don't really realize, you know, when you bump your head, what's the first thing you do? You put your hand on it.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
Why would you do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You rub it, make it feel better.
Yeah.
That's self-compassion, but there's energy in our hands
mm-hmm.
and it makes it feel better, you know?
Okay.
And so that's kind of a real simple explanation of it. But energy healing really helps when I lay my hands gently on people, it helps the energy that's coming from me and around me go into their body and clear the energy blockages out of their body. So they might have a stiff knee, they might have an injured shoulder, they might have a migraine headache, their neck might hurt, they might feel a tightness in their chest. You know, all these things are energy blockages. Mm-hmm. And so the energy healing breaks up those energy blockages and releases those blocks out and gives the person more freedom.
Yeah, right.
From pain or discomfort.
Yeah. And what's the difference between that and Reiki?
Same thing. Reiki is a 3,000-year-old energy healing technique. They actually use symbols, so you focus a symbol inside people. It's an ancient symbol that might mean, pure love or, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the meanings of the symbols right now, but, you focus a symbol and you do a certain set of laying on of hands, like on the head, on the shoulders, on the chest, on the, different areas in the torso, legs, feet, hands, arms, and it does the same thing. It releases the blocked energy out of the body.
And how long does it take a person to kind of release some deep wounds? Like how many sessions would they have with you using this technique?
I would say, I like to tell people to come in at least 3 times.
Okay.
Depending on what they've got going on.
Yeah.
And if they're going through a really big, huge, traumatic time in their life, mm-hmm. or they've got something really big up, we'll see how they're feeling after 3 times. And then a lot of people just keep booking sessions every other week till they feel better.
Okay.
Is
it like an hour at a time that you work with people?
1 hour and 90-minute sessions.
Okay. So it depends upon what they feel they need. Yeah. Okay. And flower essences. I haven't heard that for healing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They're very subtle. To make a flower essence, you basically take a flower and you clip the flower. You take the flower off the stem and you float it in water for 2 hours at least in the sunshine. And it takes
So like you put it in a bowl?
Yep.
Okay.
I put it in a clear bowl out in the sun on a beautiful day. And I put all the flowers in this bowl and it releases the electrical imprint of the flower. And then I siphon all of those flower tops off and I filter it really well. And then I mix it with a preservative and that's your medicine. And so they are very subtle and very powerful. And you take it in drops in your water or under your tongue.
Oh.
Like
once a day or?
Twice a day.
Okay.
Depending on what you're treating. You can treat physical things. You can treat emotional things. One of the most famous flower essence blends was created by Dr. Bach, and it's called Rescue Remedy.
Okay.
And I highly recommend it to everybody that's listening. If you have any anxiety, if you're going through any hard time, if you've had a near miss or had a car accident or whatever, you've gotten frightened for some reason, a few of those drops under your tongue will calm you right down. Right before you go on stage, if you're going to speak, if you get nervous, a few of those drops under the tongue is amazing. And I know people who treat mild forms of anxiety with it.
Hmm. So do you have like little tinctures that you sell?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Okay.
And I make them. So I have...
How long do they last?
Oh, a bottle like that, a 2-ounce bottle or a 1-ounce bottle would last 30 to 60 days.
And they keep for how long?
A year or two.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Long shelf life.
Yeah. I mix them with a good preservative. Brandy. I use brandy. And for people who have sensitivities, I use a little bit of vinegar and some red shiso. So it's,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very potent yet mild.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's, wow, that's something new I hadn't heard of ever.
Yeah.
Where did you find out about that?
From having somebody just gave me some rescue remedy one time and it helped me out so much. I was like, oh, and there's a whole set of Bach flower remedies that do all sorts of things. And so that was my first set that I found out about. And I have a set of that that was gifted to me actually. And then I got the, Australian bush flower essences from Australia. They're beautiful. They're very potent. In helping people shift emotional and physical things.
All right. What is craniosacral therapy?
The craniosacral rhythm from the cranium up in the head
and
down into the sacrum, at right just above the tailbone, there is a rhythm, like a heart rhythm.
Oh.
Where our heart beats. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have this other rhythm that goes from the brain down the spinal cord in the dural tube down into the sacrum. And so balancing various parts of the body by running energy up and down the spine, holding the sacrum, holding the head, can really help people feel more balanced and open up that cranial sacral rhythm.
Okay.
And it can alleviate like locked lower back pain or neck pain.
Okay.
There's work on the jaw as well, around the little sutures in the
skull. So is it a hands-on technique?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, mm-hmm. And it's, so I'm thinking of like a chiropractic work, but it's a lot gentler than
so
that.
So subtle.
Okay, very subtle.
So subtle.
Okay.
Very powerful, but very subtle. Hmm. You just hold it, and it's just amazing to feel the differences and to feel things open up.
Okay.
Really cool.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. So I think of you now as you went from house cleaning to house clearing to clearing people's bodies and souls.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long have you been doing this intuitive and energy healing? So it must be if you were...
Oh, gosh.
Like as a business.
I opened my office in 1999.
Okay.
I actually had opened another office in 96. So since 96, I've been actually doing it as a business.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where are you located?
I'm on the corner of Lindale and Lake in Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All right. And the name of your business is?
It's Nancy Lindgren,
yeah.
Basically. But I call on my door, it says Complementary Healing Arts.
Okay. All right. And when you say intuitive healing and counseling, what does that mean?
So I listen from a really deep place when people are talking to me. And so that's the intuitive counseling part. And I get impressions while people are talking to me, or I have a feeling, or I can really feel the weight of what they're saying. And I can feel sort of where it is in my body. And so I know where to work on their body when I have them get on my healing table. And I get impressions while they're talking.
Oh.
Somebody was recently telling me about some stress that she was having with her husband, and he'd come home from work and he might be a little cranky sometimes. And I said, well, what kind of work does he do? And she's, oh, he works in the financial arena and he works with people who are really struggling. And the whole time she was telling me this, I'm seeing this guy interact with these people and all of this stress that he's picking up, it looked like acid rain. You know what I mean?
Oh,
it was
wow.
Just like,
okay.
And then
yeah.
he was picking up their stress, their anxiety, their nervousness, their tension. And I don't think he realized how sensitive he was. And so then he'd come home and he'd discharge it. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
And it was just fascinating to watch, you know. So that's the kind of impressions I get while people are talking to me.
Oh, that's so powerful.
Right.
I mean, because the person can do something like with Oh, acid rain. Oh,
right.
You know, like that's something you can actually imagine.
Right.
Yeah. That, oh, if that's what's happening to me, I need to protect myself.
Right. And learn how to manage their energy.
Yeah.
You know, and release that energy. Like if they walk out, when I walk out of Target, I just heard somebody yell at their kid and I'm really upset about that or whatever. I've picked up this stress or energy or anxiety from the kid or the parent or whoever. And I'm like, you know, I get in my car and I have to release that energy out of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I think we all are sensitive people and we're picking, you know, you can pick up somebody's depression or anxiety or sadness or fear, just like you can pick up a cold. You know what I mean? From somebody?
I just learned on National Public Radio today from a scientist that a new study has come out where you don't have to cough to spread your germs. You just have to be around somebody who's sick, and you can get sick.
So it's in the energy field.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're starting to get to that kind of research.
Well, it's amazing. I do see this blocked energy coming out of people while I'm working on them. And like the first time I saw it, I thought, oh my gosh, what is that? And my guides have, you know, told me all these things all these years, but I saw like billions of little pieces of granite come out of somebody. It's always dark, black, gray, whatever.
Okay.
And then I heard chipping away at his self-esteem. And so when he got off the table, I said, did you have a parent or somebody in your life that was kind of hard on you? And he goes, oh, yeah, my dad was putting me down all the time and blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, he carried all that in there all those years, you know.
Yeah.
So I think he felt a little bit more free.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After that.
Right, right. And you just mentioned guides. Do you have two guides?
I don't know how many I have. I wish I did, but you know, I hear the voice of my angels.
Okay. Tell us more about guides. Like I was taught at a very young age and with my Catholic upbringing that we have guardian angels.
Right.
You know,
that's
like
exactly.
Two.
Yep. Well, you know, some people have more than others. And I think that there are some guides that come in at certain times, you know, are on special assignment. I mean, there's all sorts of angels around us all the time, I think, and everybody's got a guardian angel or two or eight. I don't know how many.
Okay.
And I don't know how many guides I have. I don't know their names. I don't know any of that. I just hear them. I feel them. I, you know.
And do they have a different voice? Like, can you identify, oh, that's that angel? Or it just,
no,
it's kind of a generic.
It's a generic voice that I hear very clearly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you know that's the voice you trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. And it's a feeling I get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And with your degree of sensitivity and the work that you're doing, how do you, like after a session like that where you're actually pulling out like granite from someone or seeing it, you know, how do you... what do you do after a session like that to kind of make sure you're not in integrating or taking on another person's energy or other emotions?
I make sure that I'm grounded and clear. And if I have all of a sudden my shoulder's really achy and I'm like, didn't have that achy shoulder before the client came in and they were working on an achy shoulder, you know, we were working on,
right.
You know, I'm like, oh dear, you know, so then I just clear it. I bring in the light and I clear that energy. And I just ask any energies that don't belong to me, I ask that they leave now.
Okay.
And I just send them down into the, you know, into the earth as compost or bring a big ball of light through me and clear it that way or, you know.
Beautiful.
Or sometimes I'll burn sage or Palo Santo, holy wood, or got some nice clearing spray that I use too, you know, with flower essences in it.
Yeah. Okay.
To clear the field.
So all your healing techniques that you use on others, you can use on yourself as well.
I can. I do EFT tapping, emotional freedom technique. I don't know if you're familiar with that. Are you?
I've heard of it, but tell us more.
You know, it's based on the puncture meridians that are in the body.
Okay.
And when we're stressed out or have had a trauma, our energy meridians in our body can get blocked and locked up. Therefore, this stress and trauma can keep playing over and over in our system and gets locked in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so doing some, it's like 8 points that you tap on, you know, and that's, and you say the stressful event, you know, you just talk a little bit about it, or whatever's stressing you out. I'm so nervous right now. And you start to tap, even though I have all this anxiety, you know, and you just tap on the different points. And pretty soon it just brings you back into your center and it doesn't have the load that it had in your system before.
Yeah.
And it works on the amygdala, you know, that part of the fight or flight or freeze part of the brain. And so it calms the amygdala down and it gets us back into our system and gets us back into our center again. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, great.
And so you tap, you know, on some, you do the tapping and you say maybe some negative things that are going on, maybe 3 rounds of that. And then you bring in the positive aspects and start tapping in positive aspects of.
So you do the same tapping like you were tapping before between your eyebrows.
Yep, eyebrow, side of the eye, under the eye, under the nose.
Under the nose, the chin.
Spot on the collarbone, under the arm, and the top of the head. And it sounds a little confusing at first, but it's really fast and easy to learn. And I love to teach my clients that.
Yeah.
So they have the tools that they can use on their own.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I love to empower my clients, you know, to give them the tools that they can do on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And I found some of the most empowering techniques are the most helpful that I like to use. There's another one called holographic memory resolution, where let's just say a client says, oh, I have this anxiety. And I'll say, well, where do you feel that in your body? Oh, it's in my chest. Oh, do you feel it on the inside, the outside? Oh, it's on the inside. Does it have a shape or a size or a color? Well, it's gray and it's cold. And it's huge. It takes up my whole chest. Does it have a weight, a temperature, texture? It's heavy. And it's kind of sharp and jagged.
Hmm.
And it's kind of a hypnotic thing that I do and bringing all those. And then I'll say, well, how young might
you... Yeah, you have a very hypnotic voice. Right? Yeah, right.
And I'll just say, how young might you be when you very first feel that cold, big, heavy, dark, gray, jagged rock in your chest? And right away an age comes. And they might say, I'm 6 years old. And I'm standing, you know, where are you? What's going on? Well, I'm standing in the hallway and my parents are having a big fight in the kitchen. Oh. And then they'll say, and I'm scared. I'll say, well, what did that little six-year-old need that it wasn't getting at that time?
Mm.
You go with your wise self right now. You can take a guardian angel. You can do anything you want. Let's go back and help that little six-year-old you.
Oh.
We can't change their history, but we can change that moment for them.
Yeah.
Because the holographic part is we have this feeling on the inside, but we've still got a little six-year-old kid out there who thinks that every time they hear a loud voice or somebody's yelling, that that's going to happen again, that the parents are going to be fighting or they'll be in trouble or whatever is going to happen.
Yeah.
So we go back and we create that safety for that little six-year-old. And we run a beautiful color through them. And then we'll say, what do you want to do with that big, heavy, gray rock that you felt in your chest? And, you know, they might say, oh, I want it to disintegrate, or I want to throw it in the ocean, or I want it to break it up with a sledgehammer. They get to do anything they want. We get it out of there. Then I'll have them fill it with a color.
Oh.
A really pretty color.
Yeah.
And then prior to that, I have them create a safe scene. And so then I say, let's take that little six-year-old to your safe scene by the ocean or under that big oak tree in the forest or, you know, in your grandma's, you know, living room or whatever,
yeah,
you know,
sure.
where they've come up with something.
Yeah.
And so you,
I like that they get to, you know, you use your creativity.
So they're doing all the work.
Right.
I'm basically just the guide.
Guiding.
And I'm asking the questions and taking them gently
through
you
it.
You know, through it. And it does not re-traumatize them then.
Right.
Know?
Yeah.
Because you go right before the trauma happened. And then we work with that.
Yeah.
So it's a way of working with clients that I find to be very empowering and kind of complete, you know, like with that particular issue.
Yeah. And does every person come in with an issue?
I would say.
Yeah, like
you know,
a specific issue that they're working on something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, like whether it's body pain or they're going through cancer treatment or they've had this thing for a long time and they just want to release it. kind of like therapy,
sure.
You know,
yeah.
But it's got the energy component to it. And so there's a belief in energy healing that I always say our issues are in our tissues, you know?
Yeah.
These bodies we have are like a 50 billion gigabyte hard drive
that
hold the memories of all the things that have ever happened to us. Positive, negative, extreme love, joy, terrible trauma, whatever. And that those are all in our cells. And so the energy healing helps to release those cellular memories that are in locked in the cells.
Yes.
And so when I
was just... In a gentle way.
Yeah.
They're just, yeah.
Gentle, powerful way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is a nice place to finish. Thank you so much for sharing your gifts and your talents with us. I like that they're complementary healing arts so that you can pull in different ways in which you work based on what the person is coming in with to heal.
Right. And the complementary part is it complements very nicely whatever they're doing with their doctor, their medication, or going through surgery, or, you know, any kind of other medical treatments they have. It complements really nicely with those.
And you've also started another business, so I'd like you to come back and talk about that.
Oh, great.
A manufacturing business.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So, well, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you
so
for having
nice
me.
That we got reacquainted in January.
Oh, my gosh. What a great surprise that was.
Yeah, that was really great. And thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, photographer, brother from another mother. Videographer.
Thank you, Mike.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And we'll see you all next week.